Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher on a Sunday night into Monday morning. Week 9, a lot to get to, including we're doing this a little early tonight because Seattle currently up 38-14 on Washington. That closed 2.5-3 Seattle. The big news here, Samo, is as I'm looking at the TV, a huge cast on Jaden Daniels' arm, so the nightmare season for the Commanders continues.
Yeah, everything that went right last year seems to be going wrong this year for the Commanders. They entered the game down wide receivers. They lose Luke McCaffrey in the first half, shortens that offense even more. But on the defensive side, they could not stop Seattle one lick. Seattle up 24-7 at the half. You saw Cooper Kupp be announced out of this game early. Torrey Horton steps up. You see Elijah Arroyo step up. A.J. Burner steps up. And then Smith and Jigba is just Smith and Jigba. Darnold perfect in the first half, 15 for 15. This was just a beatdown from the opening whistle, Patrick.
Yeah, we talked about balance. Like, my obsession with Seattle is balance. Defense, offense, obviously, the offense is impeccable. Like, 8 guys caught passes. They're running the football. I don't care about the injuries on Washington's defense. This Seattle offense is legit. The defense, we know it's good. And then tonight, special teams. So they're getting all 3 phases. We keep on talking about how good this Seattle team potentially can be. And tonight they put an emphasis on that. You're 100% right about Washington winning those one score games last year. Injuries, yes, but they've come back down to earth here.
They have. We saw last year they scored more points in any drive that included a fourth down conversion. They have not had that same, I'm not going to say luck, but that same conversion rate on fourth down that we saw last year. And without those extended drives, all of a sudden you're putting your defense in bad spots and they're not able to respond in a big way. And the landslide just begins. On top of it, the Jaden Daniel, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? We've seen calf. We've seen knee. Now we've got arm, all these different issues. And it's as simple as when Marcus Mariota's in there, that offense does not look anywhere near the same. They move on from Brian Robinson Jr. I bet they wish they had him back after Eckler left as well. Just a train wreck of a season for the Washington Commanders, one they're going to want to forget.
Sharp Money, it's the same formula. We run the board. There's so much to get to. The Steelers' defense finally shows up. Bo Nix, they lead another fourth quarter comeback. Carolina into Green Bay. Allen over Mahomes, but let's start 451. Good place to start here. Chicago beat Cincinnati 47-42, and we don't really have much to discuss outside of the fact that there were over 1,000 yards put up between the two of them. This was a 14-point lead by Chicago with about 5 minutes to play. In under 2 minutes, it's erased, and an onside kick is recovered by Cincinnati. Then Colston Loveland with like a 47. I mean, Cincinnati's defense is legitimately laugh out loud hilarious. Even the tackling on the game-winning touchdown pass from Williams to Loveland was amazing. So much to unpack.
Yeah, look, we said play the Bears team total over. I'm going to rephrase that. Just play whoever Cincinnati's playing team total over at this point, because this defense is just absolutely atrocious. It looked like they were going to play the reverse Uno card on themselves after giving up a 2-score lead. Last week, we saw the Jets get the 2-point conversion so they could win in regulation. The Bengals this week score, get the 2-point conversion, get an onside kick, score. They go up, and I was on Ready, Set, Bet. I'm joking with Matt. They scored too soon. Like, you can't leave this much time on the clock when your defense is that atrocious. And lo and behold, Caleb Williams throws a pass to Colston Loveland, and he, as you said, just bounces off like 6 guys and then runs past everyone. Like, no one wants to tackle him. Ends up in the end zone, and we see just an improbable Bears win after they had snatched defeat from the draws of victory. They are able to somehow pull it out anyway. This is a Bengals team that's wildly entertaining, but very difficult to bet on or against, because you will get a heart attack. 3 straight games now, we see the Bengals play just absolute instant classics. A couple Thursday nights ago, they kick a game-winning field goal after giving up a long touchdown to Freiermuth against the Steelers. Last week, they collapse against the Jets. This week, they come all the way the back against the Bears and then collapse. I am going to say this, though, Patrick. I'm not a Caleb Williams guy.
I thought today was very good. I mean, he ran the ball 58 yards or something like that. He had a few touchdown passes. He caught a touchdown pass. I mean, I thought he was actually pretty good in this game, and they ran out of running backs as well.
Kyle Manungai, awesome in this game.
Tremendous.
26 for 176. He looks like a more talented Pacheco, kind of runs in that same angry running style. Ironically, they're both out of Rutgers, but has that same angry running style. And he came in and did not miss a step with their regular running back out there. Caleb Williams did run for 58 yards. He had more opportunities to run where he just kind of didn't take off. I hate how he extends plays backward. Like when you watch Patrick Mahomes extend plays, he steps up into the pocket and then generally will run in, run up the middle and then tuck toward the outside. Caleb Williams turns his back to the defense, wheels outside, then a wheel back around. He just gets himself in trouble. And when you combine that with his lack of accuracy downfield, it's just, it's not for me. It could get better. He can learn. But right now, it's still very much a work in progress despite putting up 47 for the Bears.
How bad is the Bengals' defense? They became the first team in 59 years to lose back-to-back games when they scored at least 38 points. And I can't imagine that's going to stop anytime soon because this defense, even just the effort on the final play was hilarious. Let's talk Chicago. We'll get to the Giants here in a bit with a loss at home to San Francisco. Chicago now all of a sudden, what are they, 5-3? Mike, they return home after a win, and they're going to get the Giants. They're 3.5. I think the look-ahead was 3, correct?
Yeah, look-ahead 3. Total was 47. So we see this reopen with the Bears as a slightly bigger favorite. Not surprising, not just because the Bears covered here, but also because the Giants really struggled to move the football at certain phases of the game against a defense for the 49ers that lost another piece. We'll talk about this one once we get through the 49ers.
Yeah, Cincinnati on a bye. We'll get to all the Week 10 bye teams. They could use a bye. They Although could. Flacco threw for 470 yards. Higgins was going nuts. It's an interesting season. Like you said, it's almost must watch when they're playing because anything can happen. 453, San Francisco went to the Giants, a 34-24 winner. This ended up closing 2.5, so an easy cover for San Francisco here.
Yeah, over gets home easily. So this is a good weekend. We're going to talk about a lot of happy things here because this was a fun NFL weekend for us. Look, this is a 49ers team that is going to move the football against a lot of teams, and they're going to give up points against a lot of teams because they are just keep losing pieces on this defensive side. We've seen now multiple weeks without Bosa, they just simply cannot get pressure on the passer. That puts a ton of pressure on their secondary to be able to make plays, and they're just not good enough on the back end to be able to consistently stop offenses when there is no pressure on the quarterback. This is a workmanlike effort, though, for the Niners. They came out, put up 17 in the first half, 17 in the second half. Christian McCaffrey was awesome, 106 and a tutty on the ground, 67 and a tutty through receiving as well. Mac Jones was efficient. He goes 19 for 24, 235 and 2 touchdowns. And the big question going to be, what do we do next week? Because Purdy is supposed to be back next week in Week 10 for the Niners. I would assume it's Purdy, but we'll see if there's any questions there.
Yeah, I thought Jones was really impressive. Mm-hmm. He completed his first 14 passes, and obviously the 49er offense is at its best when it runs through McCaffrey. You laid it out perfectly, over 100 on the ground, 67 through the air. As far as the Giants, I think officially we can say this defense is a problem because they're going to do enough, and the rookie is good enough to keep them in games offensively, but defensively they've surrendered at least 30 points for the third straight week, so a bit of a disaster there with the Giants' defense.
If they're not playing a bad offensive line, they're going to get cut up because their defensive line's still creating pressure. Burns doing a great job to get in and get sacks. They got a turnover where Burns goes in, gets a strip sack, and we saw their rookie be able to catch the ball in the air to recover the fumble as it was ruled on the field. But they can't consistently do that unless they're facing a bad offensive line. Now, if they're in a spot with a bad offensive line, they're going to wreak havoc. But if they're not in a spot with a bad offensive line, they're going to give up points because they're just a mess outside of that front four.
Mike, you got division with San Francisco going home, and they're going to get the Rams. We'll get to the Rams here in a bit. Look ahead was 3. It is 3.5 with the Rams laying it.
Yeah, going to be a banger. And this is one where, spoiler alert, I'm probably going to be on the Rams here. When we get to that one, we'll talk about it in full. But it feels like this is a really, really hard 49ers team to back against a good team.
There are certain teams that you said it last Thursday on Sharp Money, where we're starting to see some teams separate. Like immediately, I think Seattle, I think Rams. Like there are teams that now I'm starting to rely on, and the Rams are one of those teams. We'll get to them here in just a bit. Now on the other side, the Giants, as we mentioned, go to Chicago. It is up to 3.5. I'm not really interested in laying a hook with Chicago, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, me neither. I this would be Giants or pass, but I kind of like the over a little bit, Patrick. We're sitting at 47 right now, This Bears team, especially in the first half, very efficient with the football. We saw that again with the scripted plays and them getting out to a hot start here as they put up 14 points on their first two drives. And you flip over and you look at this Giants team. This Bears defense, I'm not sure what they do great. So it feels like the Giants should be able to have some success here with Jackson Dart running around, slinging it all over the place. And you got to think they're going to be aggressive just because they know they're giving up points. The Giants know they're going to. So the offense has to try and match in kind. So sitting at 47, I lean toward the over.
455, Atlanta was at New England, so a bit of a gut check for New England. Now let's say this, Atlanta had an opportunity. They missed an extra point to tie it up, potentially force overtime. I watched pretty much all of this one, and I was pretty impressed by both teams. I thought Atlanta's defense played really well. Drake London caught every single thing thrown his way. And New England, you know, the quarterback is going to make – he's going to make bad decisions at times, but he's awesome. It was a gut check game for New England. They come out with a one-point win over Atlanta.
Yeah, the offense was absolutely humming in the first half for New England. They put up 21 of their 24 points in that half. And then you see the Falcons start to kind of grind it back. You mentioned the one big mistake by May, a fumble where he gets stripped. One of those where he's got to learn to just protect the ball, but not something that long-term I'm all that concerned about. Still has a phenomenal deep ball, able to push the ball down the field. We saw Henderson get in here as this lead running back for the first time. He goes 14 for 55. He was okay, not as explosive as I think some people would have liked to see. This was your pros versus Joes game of the day, Patrick, as the Joes just kept laying it with the Patriots. The pros kept coming in on the Falcons. It looks like it was going to be a Joes game when it was 21-7, and then Atlanta just ground back into this thing, and the Patriots offense not as efficient in that second half. So the Falcons end up covering every single number in this spot. Look, the Falcons are enigma. I just don't know when you're going to get good Atlanta and bad Atlanta, because good Atlanta is good enough to play with a lot of teams in the NFL, and bad Atlanta just lays a just – stinky egg right behind them every single time they show up in that form.
They lose by a point against a team that's just won six straight, and they went Atlanta 1 for 10 on third downs. Like, they just kill themselves. Mm-hmm. This is a game that was there for the taking. I don't like the coach. One thing I will say about May, spreading the ball around, again, six straight wins, four different receivers caught three or more balls. So that's pretty impressive for a second-year kid spreading the ball around. Can't really kill either team coming out of this one. It was a good game.
I didn't upgrade or downgrade either team here. Just kind of stayed flat off of this. And I did not downgrade Atlanta as aggressively as some people did in the market. And I upgraded them slightly with Penix back and Cousins out. So didn't feel like I needed to make a move here. I am going to keep a very close eye on this Patriots team, though. We are 4 days away from the trade deadline. If they could go out and get, like, Waddle, who is apparently on the block. We'll see if they actually want to move him and if they want to move him in division. But if they could go out and get a top-tier wide receiver to be across from Diggs, that would make a big difference for them and for Drake May, their young quarterback.
Yeah, Diggs had a big catch, as I remember, when the game was on the margins. Berlin. So have fun, Atlanta and Indianapolis. The Falcons and the Colts are going to travel to Berlin, Germany, and Indianapolis. I think the look ahead was a full 7. It has dropped down to 6.
Yeah, look ahead was 7. They're 6.5, 6 in the market now. And no surprise here. The Colts got downgraded, and we'll talk about that Colts team, which was one of the more I'm not going to say the Colts were disappointing. I was shocked by the Steelers.
Team of the day. I don't even think it's close.
Don't know where that came from.
Never saw it coming, to be honest with you. I got an egg on my face as the Colts turned into a pumpkin. Happy Halloween. And we'll get to the Equinox there. VSIM for Maddie. New England heads to Tampa Bay. So, again, Tampa Bay chilling. They are going to be coming off their bye. And I believe the look ahead was 1.5. And now I'm looking everywhere has Tampa Bay 2.5.
Again, not overly surprised, just because this New England team did struggle a little in the second half there. This is an important game for the Pats, man. Like, they don't have a lot left. It's Jets, Bengals, Giants. Then they have Bills, Ravens, and then it's Jets, Dolphins to close out the season. So we're not going to see a high leverage game from this Pats team, essentially from that Bills game until the next time they play the Bills outside of this road trip to the Buccaneers. It's a Patriots team that is absolutely on fire right now. I want to see what this young team does when they've got to go on the road, have to go to play a very good opponent when they're on a hot streak. This is going to be one of those things where the Patriots are going to tip their hand. Are they actually a team that can contend in the AFC and go down and take care of business? Or is this a team that's a nice story, that's going to make the playoffs, but is still a year or two away from actually being a legit threat?
Yeah, I like the way Tampa's defense is playing as well. It's a huge opportunity and test for May and New England, having won six straight. Incredible. Next up, 457, Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh, a 27-20 winner. I couldn't have been more wrong. Indianapolis closed three, and it took 9 weeks. So let's give Daniel Jones and that offense credit. But finally, it struck midnight on Jones and the Colts. They played perfect football this year until they didn't. They gave the ball away five times, including two times in the fourth quarter. And the difference in the game, the Steelers ended up getting 17 points off those Colts turnovers.
Yeah, this was one of those games where you kind of watch the first quarter and you're like, oh, well, this is exactly what we thought. Three and out for the Steelers, touchdown for the Colts, three and out for the Steelers. You're like, all right, this is going to go perfectly. The Colts are going to absolutely run them. And then after that, it was the story of the front four from this Pittsburgh Steelers team, a front that we have said, what's going on, guys? Like, we 2-3 weeks in a row now, we're just crushing the Steelers defense because the secondary is not good if you do not get pressure on the quarterback. Well, JJ, we got Watt with the strip sack. We got Highsmith with the strip sack.
Everyone.
I mean, everybody just in the backfield constantly. And Daniel Jones, look, when you get him under that type of pressure, it's going to be a problem. We saw multiple interceptions, multiple fumbles from Daniel Jones, and it was because of the pressure Pittsburgh was able to put on them. When we talk about this Colts offense, we talk about how you've got this offensive line that can protect Jones. You've got complementary pieces on the outside. You have a very good running back. When the offensive line doesn't work, it kind of breaks Daniel Jones and the running back, and that's what we saw today. A Pittsburgh team that simply won at the line of scrimmage, and that defense dominated all day. 27-20 isn't even close to what this actually was.
No.
This was more of like a 27-10 game, and we saw the Colts be able to get a little bit of life late, but it was never this close.
And they laid the blueprint for beating the Colts, and that is bottling up Jonathan Taylor, which then puts all the focus on Jones. Taylor, 45 yards. So it wasn't just stopping the run for this Pittsburgh defense, but it was also, as you mentioned, getting to the quarterback, busy hands all over the place. Mike and I, we love horse racing, and down at Gulfstream, there was a shady character that was called the Juice Man. And I don't know who the Juice Man was in the Steelers locker room, but he was those defensive players for the Steelers were not the same that we've seen the rest of the season. They looked like they were in fast motion.
Cam Hayward had a players only meeting. If only the players only meeting always went this well, because I don't know where this came from. Like, it was just ridiculous. We got Joey Porter Jr. with the sack, TJ Watt with a sack, Highsmith had two, Benton had a sack. You had Cam Hayward in the backfield all day long, five sacks, six quarterback hits. It just completely disrupted this wildly efficient Colts offense, and you just kind of hat tip to the Steelers. The question is, what are we going to get next week, Patrick? Is this the Steelers defense we now should expect, or is this a one-off? And that's where this is really going to boggle my mind from a betting perspective, because I don't necessarily believe this is the Steelers we're going to get every week.
Well, we're going to get a good answer, because they're going to head to here in Los Angeles and take on the Chargers. Now, we'll get to the Chargers and what's happening with Alt. He kind of seems to be the key. The look ahead, I believe, was Chargers 3.5, and now a little respect coming Pittsburgh's way, evened up at 3.
Yeah, look ahead was as high as 4.5 in some places.
Wow.
And we'll talk about Alt when we get to that Chargers game. I think Alt out is the big reason why we've seen a movement in that spread. Obviously, the Steelers' defense looked a lot better, but the difference with Joe Alt in the game and out of the game was drastic for the Chargers. If you look at their stats over the two, they'll call it a game and three quarters that we saw Joe Alt back in the lineup, they all of a sudden were very good at pass blocking and run blocking again without him, and now this vaunted Pittsburgh front that seems rejuvenated, not a great spot.
No, try not to overreact, but right now the number looks good with the Steelers. I was almost texted you. I was laughing out loud how well the defense was playing, because I was not a believer for 8 weeks in this team, Steelers.
Well, they gave you nothing to believe in. This literally like came out of nowhere. It felt like that defense was washed. I guess they heard all of the comments and decided to show up. And now, again, the question is, what's the Steelers moving forward? Is this front four going to create havoc every week? Because if you can do it against the Colts, you can do it against anybody. Or is this
Correct.
A one-off situation where it's just, well, we cared this game?
It's a good point. They demolished a really good offensive line. And stopped potentially the offensive player of the year in Taylor. Incredible. It really, the NFL is wild. And speaking of wild, 4:59. You know, I was a terrible kid, and I used to play with my food, and I couldn't get up from the table until I ate all of it. Well, Green Bay is me as a child, because they just dick around, and part of my language, but they do. And they were laying 13.5 to Carolina. Carolina leaves with a 16-13 win over the Packers in Green Bay.
Yeah, cash the under here. It's another fun one there. I have a bunch of Packers futures, so it was not fun with the way that this final score ended up. Would have liked to walk out of there with the W. Fun stat of the day, Patrick. Green Bay scored 13 points. How many times did they punt?
They didn't.
They did not punt in this game. And it goes back to your playing with the food. They only had two turnovers, but there's turnovers on downs. There's a missed field goal in there. There's long drives ending in the red zone that end up in three and not seven. It's just not the efficiency you'd like to see. They lose Tucker Kraft in this one. It's a knee injury. It sounds like it's the season. So that is a big blow to this offense, because he was really just taking that next step, the leap up there, and becoming a phenomenal playmaker for them. I don't know what to say about this game. The Packers were efficient in spots, and then just an absolute mess outside of it. The offense didn't have any rhythm despite moving the football in a lot of drives. It felt like the last drive was the first time you saw them have rhythm. We've had the Boo Birds come out in Lambeau. I wasn't impressed with the Panthers. Like, they just kind of hung around and then all of a sudden won the game.
Here's what I will say about the Panthers at 5-4. Strong run game. Dowdle was awesome again, 130 yards. And we would agree the defense, while it wasn't amazing today, has progressively gotten better as the season is. So they can run the ball and they can defend a little bit. I don't know if it's time to take them serious, the Panthers. They did just beat. It's so funny because we're talking about New England. They looked as bad as a team can look in New England, and then they just went to Green Bay and walked out with a W, Carolina.
Here's the thing. Bryce Young was 11 for 20, okay, for 102 yards and a pick. Like, how did the Packers lose this football game? They didn't.
You know what? No, but you're laying it out perfectly. This is more indicative of the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly. Like, this is more of a Packers loss than it is a Panthers win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let me take a look and project ahead, as you've got next Monday night, Green Bay staying home and hosting the Eagles. You can grab me the look ahead, but I think the number right now everywhere is Green Bay 2.5, and I think the look ahead was 3.
It was the full field goal on the look ahead. So we have seen the half point shaved off for the Packers here. Eagles on bye this week. So you got the Packers playing a second game at home after, you know, a sleepy spot today against the Panthers. And that game is also, I believe, the Monday night football game as well. So you're going to have a primetime game in Lambeau off of this game, with the Eagles coming in off the bye. It's going to be a phenomenal football game if we get the real Packers to show up for 60 minutes, which we have not seen since week one against the Lions.
Well, we talked on Thursday's edition of Sharp Money. It's injury season, and a very key injury for the Packers is Tucker Kraft.
Yeah. He was the one reliable piece of this offense. And that's outside, I guess, Josh Jacobs, where you needed. We always talk about this group of wide receiver twos in Green Bay, and someone needs to become the wide receiver one. Well, Tucker Kraft kind of became that wide receiver one in the Trey McBride style, right? Where you, or the Brock Bowers style, where you know he's going to get his game in and game out, and then you just need the contributions from these wideouts. Without him out there, Musgrove, who's a fine tight end, a lot better than a lot of teams' tight ends, but he's not Tucker Kraft. And Christian Watson just isn't the one that they want him to be. And Romeo Doubs isn't the one they want him to be. And Golden has just not been what they were hoping for in his rookie season. So now it's a question again in Green Bay of what pass catcher is going to consistently step up for them. It's an unanswered question for the last 3 years.
So the Sports Equinox is here. And I'll tell you one thing, not just with the NFL, Opta AI, when you become a VSiN Pro, it's a modeling, AI modeling situation for props, and it's great with the NFL, but it's been killing it in the NBA as well. You can sign up right now, get full VSiN Pro access, including Opta AI, access to everything we do for $120. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to get everything we offer. Make sure you check that out. So we mentioned Philly is at Green Bay. Carolina, Mike, is going to be hosting New Orleans. I guarantee this jumped off the look ahead. You can give me the look ahead, and I'll tell you right now, it's mostly 5.5 in the market with Carolina laying it at home hosting the Saints.
Yeah, this was 3.5. So we did see a big move toward the Panthers here, both off the Panthers win and the Saints performance in Los Angeles. Total sitting at 41.5. It is hard to back the Panthers as this big of favorites, Patrick. But I don't know if I want to take it with the Saints and what I saw from Shuck today either. Another important trade deadline game. This Saints team could look very different if it's no Kamara, if it's no Kamara, if it's no Shaheed, two players that are reportedly on the trade block when we fast forward to next Sunday. So one of the games that I kind of want to sit and let bake a little bit before we find out what the actual lineups are going to be.
461, Minnesota beat Detroit 27-24. Detroit did close... You'll have to give me. Did they get up to 9.5?
They did. Yeah, this one. This one ping ponged back and forth between 8.5 and 9.5. Tens hit the market at one point. Those got eaten up pretty quickly, but ended up closing Lions -9.5 here.
Okay, don't even look at the numbers. I'm sure McCarthy's numbers were bad. He was really good in the game. Don't know how to say it. He when it mattered, the pass to Naylor late when all of a sudden Detroit was alive. He just kind of had a little thing about him where, and I'll look at the numbers, but I know they weren't good, but when when they needed something, he was kind of there for him. Here was the key to this game. 5 sacks on Goff. I thought Minnesota's defense was awesome in this game.
Yeah, it's a Minnesota defense that had struggled, and we had not seen that Flores blitz be able to get to quarterbacks. Today was a nightmare for Jared Goff. I mean, McCarthy ends up going 14 for 25, 143, 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
But like
good.
You said, the difference between him today and him in week 2 was highly noticeable. Quicker decisions with the football, quicker decisions on when to take off, was able to get through his reads and progressions much quicker than what we saw. When we
touchdown
were talking,
run as
yeah,
well.
The 9-yard touchdown run. When we were talking about McCarthy after the week 2 game, everything was a half second slow. Everything wasn't a half second slow today. And that is about as much as you could have hoped for with him reinserted into the lineup. The throw to Naylor was a phenomenal
with
the game on the line. I mean, he was able to read
back
the
shoulder,
play, able to understand where the linebacker was covering his wide out and hit his wide receiver over the back shoulder before the linebacker could turn around and make a play on the ball. It was as good of his throw as you're going to see in the NFL under the situation. Yeah, there were some bad ones too. But this was better than what we saw in week 2. So I'll echo your sentiments that this was a better than it looks stat line here from J.J. McCarthy. On the other side of it, it was, as you said, just a dominant defensive performance. 5 sacks, 11 QB hits. They heated up Goff the entire game. You saw 3 offensive linemen for Detroit leave the game at one point or another with an injury. So we got to keep an eye on this offensive line for Detroit moving forward. But much like the Colts, when you heat up the quarterback, it makes a big difference for the rest of this offense. I thought that was the difference in the game, the pressure that Minnesota was able to consistently put on Jared Goff.
Yeah, I'm not a McCarthy guy. I was impressed by him. And Mike brings up a good point about betting Detroit moving forward. Pay attention to the offensive line. Why? If Gibbs and Montgomery don't get 100 yards, they're 0-3 this year. They had 65 combined today. That's everything. Because what is Goff? A very basic quarterback. Unless everything's perfect, then he becomes exceptional. It wasn't perfect today, and they got beat at home as a big favorite. Detroit, Mike, heads to Washington. Obviously, we'll have more on Thursday's Sharp Money, but I don't think the quarterback's going to be playing for Washington with a huge cast walking off tonight. And I've got Detroit 3.5 at the Commanders.
So if you can find a 3 in the market, I see 1-3 out there.
DraftKings is 3.
Lions -3 is a bet.
I would agree.
Lions -3.5 may be a bet because the look ahead was...
Get on the 3 right now. That's why we're doing this tonight.
The look ahead was 3.5, Patrick. How can you tell me if you're going back to Mariota that this isn't a downgrade?
No, it is. And I love Campbell in this spot.
So you have a wounded Lions team that you expect a strong performance coming back. You're taking on a Commanders defense that doesn't have a pass rush and is not creative like Flores is, and you're now missing Daniels. I Detroit 3 is a big play for me. Detroit 3.5 is still in the account.
Yeah.
I would take either of those numbers, but if you can find the 3, that's a very good number. DraftKings right now -130, I believe, is where I saw it.
Yeah, if you're downloading on a if you're downloading Sharp Money on a Monday morning, you can maybe find a three. Go get it with Detroit. Totally agree with Mike there. Next one, and by the way, Minnesota ran the ball today as well, and that was key for a young quarterback if they're going to continue to run, play defense behind the second year kid. So it's kind of hard to analyze Baltimore moving forward because it's just a tale of two seasons. I think the three and a half was the look ahead for Baltimore at Minnesota with Baltimore laying it, and everybody is still 3.5.
Yeah, I don't think this one should change. I don't think we saw enough from Minnesota to want to like drastically upgrade them. And Baltimore did enough to kind of protect the hook, right? Where if this was Baltimore minus three, you'd see people pouring in on the Baltimore side. So 3.5 makes sense here. We didn't get to talk about the Dolphins and the Ravens game because it was a Thursday night game. That was a much closer game than 28-6.
Especially the first half.
The Dolphins made a lot of mistakes, or else that would have been a very close football game, Patrick. They were moving the football, and I wasn't overly impressed with the Ravens' offense. Now, it's Jackson's first game back. I assume he'll get better as we go along here. As he gets healthier, he'll move better. But Miami was in that game like for a long, long time. And if they didn't make mistakes that really botched the end of drives for them, they could have beaten Baltimore on Thursday night. And I know the scoreline doesn't look like it at all, but there were multiple pivotal plays to end drives that were just a train wreck, specifically talking about the 4th-and-2 fade to Achan in the corner where it's like everyone looks like they're on a different page. If that was a different team than Miami, Baltimore would have been in trouble on Thursday.
Yeah, Miami very much probably should have been leading at the break. Also, for Miami backers or faders, McDaniels is going to keep his job for the rest of the year. That kind of gives you an idea. Greer is out, the general manager, but we'll talk about them in a bit. Here, it's 463, Denver, Houston. So Houston ends up closing 1.5-2. Denver with a comeback win, 18-15 here, Mike. And for the second time in 3 weeks, it's Bo Nix in the fourth quarter. Threw a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter and then set up the game-winning field drive in the final period there. So it was Nix fourth quarter and a Broncos team that continues to live on the edge.
Yeah, ever since the leverage call against the Colts, they're finding ways to win these football games. And this time they kick a walk-off here against the Texans, cash the Texans team total under. They put up 5 field goals but never able to get in the end zone. Big part of this game was a hit in the first half where, I'm not going to say it was a headhunting hit, but it was a pretty dirty hit on C.J. Stroud. He gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. He only threw 10 passes in this game. Davis Mills comes in and absolutely spams Nico Collins with targets. So Nico ends up 7 for 75 on 11 targets there. This was kind of how we discussed it on Thursday, right? This is a Texans team. Their offensive line stinks. They're not going to be able to move the football against good defenses like Denver, but their defense is very
good. Great.
Right? So, like, you play the Texans team total under, you play the under in the game. It's going to be a coin flip game coming down to a field goal one way or the other. There's no reason to be betting sides, just being betting unders with the Texans, either their team total, game team total, or their opponent's team total.
Yeah, their defense is pretty spectacular. Mills in, you mentioned the hit on Stroud, so we'll have to monitor what's up with the Texans quarterback sitting at 3-5. Thursday, so Denver. Quickly, they travel from Houston back to Denver, and Vegas is going to come to kick off week 10. Raiders at the Broncos, and right now you've got 9.5, so you do have 10s in the market on Denver.
Yeah, this is interesting because the look ahead was 10.5, and they reopened at some shops at 8.5, and immediately it was Denver money pushing this out to 9.5 or 10. Not surprised. Feels like, you know, 9.5, 9 is about the right number here. We'll talk about the Raiders here shortly, but the difference with Brock Bowers in and Brock Bowers out is massive. it feels like this Denver team's going to be able to shut down this Raiders offense, though. And so then it's a question of what can we expect from the Broncos defense Broncos offense against the Raiders defense.
And we will talk about Jacksonville. And when we talk about the Raiders and Jacksonville heads to Houston, I don't really know what you want to do here. I think it's probably dropped from the look ahead because of the quarterback situation, because now it's 1.5 with Houston laying at hosting the Jags.
Yeah, it was 3. Total was 41.5 before on the look ahead. And we, like you said, reopened 1.5 here. Checking the total real quick. Total reopens at 39, 39.5.
Sub 40.
Yeah, like it makes sense. Mills is definitely a downgrade from C.J. Stroud, although, again, I don't mind these backup quarterbacks who are like, you know what? I'm just going to take three steps and throw it to my best receiver. I don't care if he's covered. Like, let's just see what happens if I spam Nico Collins. Probably better than if you hold the football for another second and a half and wait for someone to try and get open. So this is just another under game for me, Patrick.
I would agree.
Why overthink this, right? Just back on the under of the Texans here, because I don't want to take a side. I don't know who's going to win this field goal game.
No, but that Texans defense is that good.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really good. And that was the difference today, keeping them in it. Next up, the Chargers. So we can kind of delve into this. A really spirited effort by Tennessee, if we're being fair. 27-20, Tennessee does cover the 9.5, but the Chargers do win. It does go over the total. But the big story here is, it's crazy. Obviously, losing the left tackle and Slater before the season started, Alt had done such a good job in his stead, and now it looks like a high ankle sprain. He might be out again.
Yeah, same ankle as his high ankle sprain earlier in the season. They're going to reevaluate and possibly have surgery on Monday. So this does not sound like it is going to be a short-term high ankle sprain here for Alt. And that really pushes us back to this Chargers offensive line. That's a mash unit that we're kind of just playing Tetris with the pieces, moving them from guard to tackle to set, like us all over the place. And it's unfortunate because when this offensive line has been healthy and when Alt has been out there, this looks like a very, very good Chargers team. And you mentioned the Titans frisky here. I thought the Chargers actually played really well. You had a bad pick six from Herbert. You had a punt return for a touchdown. Outside of that, the defense was awesome.
The defense was really good.
So you have two plays where special teams and defense for Tennessee put up 14 of the 20 points. Outside of that, it was a very good defensive effort where they just kind of controlled this football game. They don't end up covering because of a late field goal by the Titans. Sorry for everyone out there who had the Chargers. The Titans kick a field goal with 4 minutes left, and that is the difference between the cover and the not cover. But I can't really take this Chargers team seriously as a contender without Alt out there.
Here's what I would say. We're going to get Sunday night, the Steelers at the Chargers. ESPN Bet, if you're downloading the program, has Chargers 3.5. I'll take the 3.5 with the Steelers.
Yeah, this is just a nightmare spot because this is exactly the team you don't want to be playing with your offensive line banged up off a rejuvenated effort like this. If we get the same Steelers defensive line against the Chargers on Sunday night, Herbert is going to be in for a long day. I will be targeting Herbert rushing yard props over because we have seen him consistently use his legs. He's going to be under duress. He's going to take off against that Steelers defense. So I like his rushing yard props over. I agree. If you can get the Steelers with the hook, you take the hook. If it's flat three, you pass.
467, Jacksonville, 1-point win. Vegas scores in overtime, then they go for two. They don't convert. So Jacksonville lucky to get out of there 30-29. They don't cover the 1.5. They don't cover the 2.5 at FanDuel. But the Jags, who I don't think either of us really believe in, do pick up a W there in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't believe in this Jaguars team. Trevor Lawrence is kind of who I thought he was. Throws a pick in the red zone in the first half that kind of would have kickstarted this Jacksonville offense. Instead, doesn't end up getting being able to throw a touchdown pass, does run two touchdown passes or touchdowns in this game, 9 carries for 24 yards. To me, the big story here is Brock Bowers. No real change, in my opinion, on Jacksonville off of this game. I think their defense is mid. I think their offense is mid. I think they're a below-average football team in the NFL. Brock Bowers was healthy again, and we did not see this Brock Bowers. We saw it week one. He gets injures the knee. We did not see it before he left for a couple games. He was back today. 12 for 127, 3 touchdowns. He was all over the place for this Raiders offense, and it was amazing how different this Raiders offense looked when you had a dominant piece like that, because all of a sudden it's not getting – Jacoby Myers isn't getting doubled, and, you know, Michael Mayer is out there and he's open. Trey Tucker is open. Ashton Jeanty able to get involved in the backfield. Brock Bowers just makes this team significantly better when he's out there. And so I'm probably going to upgrade the Raiders despite the loss simply because Brock Bowers means that much to them.
Bowers was the story for the Raiders. Cam Little was a story for the Jags. So if you want something strong here, the kicker. He broke a record, a 68-yard field goal. Then with seconds left in regulation a 48-yarder to tie it up, to force it to overtime. So, you know, the kicker for the Jags. I will say this, maybe look Thursday at a team total on Denver, because the problem with the Raiders is their defense can't stop anyway. The unit's now surrendered at least 25 points in five of the Raiders' past six games. So that's the, I mean, it's not a great offense either. It's a very mid team.
It is.
The low mid.
I want to give props to Pete Carroll. So we got into overtime here, and Jacksonville scores a touchdown. 10 plays, took them 6:36 off the clock. The Raiders score a touchdown with 16 seconds left. Good on you for going for two, Pete Carroll.
You got to go for
that
two.
That was 100% the right decision. If he had kicked the extra point, I'd have been like, really, dude?
Like, what? You need a win.
Right. Why are we playing for ties? So at least nod to Pete Carroll.
I would agree.
And also, whoever was announcing that game, you never kick the ball away in overtime when there's a 10-minute clock. You may have one possession. And that's exactly what happened here. That's why, if you're Jacksonville, you always take the football. So if it goes touchdown, touchdown, you get the ball next. Like, it doesn't make any sense to kick it away in overtime. So please, announcers out there in the NFL, do not say that.
Thursday, Raiders at Denver. We talked about that, 9.5, 10, 42.5 on the total. Anything jump out there?
No. It's a big number for Thursday night, Patrick. Like, if the 10.5 were still out there, I'd probably be a Raiders backer here. Not having Sertan, it may matter here in this spot, just because you kind of are forced to cover Brock Bowers with multiple players, and so all of a sudden you're going to have single coverage on both wide receivers on the outside. But the pass rush should still be able to get home. A 10-9 isn't enough for me. It would be Broncos, or it would be Raiders or pass, but I need the hook.
Yeah, I think you'll see a good game. I don't know why. I think the Raiders may play well. I think that's a little too steep. Then we talked about, with the Raiders, Jacksonville. So Jacksonville's at Houston. Again, we got to wait to find out what's happening with Houston in this injury report.
I would be surprised if C.J. Stroud is out there. For some reason, over money came in the market this week, Patrick. I don't like. We were talking about this total at 38.5. It closed 41.5. People just come, like, I guess it's because Pat Surtain was out. But, like, yeah. I don't understand why this thing got bet up 2.5 points. It was never an over game with those two defenses. And without an offensive line in Houston, I'm just going to be on the under. In Houston games, I like the under.
469, New Orleans was here in Los Angeles at the Rams. 34-10 winner for the Rams. Easily cover the 14.5. And when you're a good team, you need to be able to do what the Rams did today. That's really all there is to it. This is a really good team. It's only going to get better. Stafford was awesome in the game. Obviously, Puka and Adams combined for, 155 and three touchdowns? Oh, and a defense that is playing about as good as anybody right now.
Yeah, this is a Rams team that won the game more convincingly than a 34-10 final.
I would agree.
Like, that's pretty much all you can say for the Rams. I mean, they were just dominant on both sides of the ball. Shuck was fine. He wasn't good.
Yeah,
he wasn't terrible. He was fine. This is just a talent. I don't want to say a lack of talent. They're not completely talentless on the Saints side, but there's just not enough good dudes out there, right? It's a bunch of mid guys, and when you put them all out there, they come out as the second worst team in the NFL, right? There's just not any real playmakers out there for you. You have Olave, but you're not really able to get him the ball enough to make a difference. Shaheed probably going to be on the move. This is like I said, a team that you want to watch in the trade market, because Shaheed and Kamara both considered top-tier targets for different teams around the NFL.
I would think about moving on from all three. Just, you can find receivers. Just maybe somebody gets desperate. You get those picks. You mentioned it. It's just a team that's trying. They're just not talented enough.
Between generations. They had all
exactly.
These good dudes.
And they were in cap hell coming into the year as well.
You were great. Now you got to pay for it. Be great again.
Rookie head coach, too. There's nothing about New Orleans, like, for example, a Cleveland or a Jets. There's nothing about New Orleans where I'm like, oh, I'm disappointed. No. They've been what we thought they would be. So they head to Carolina, as we mentioned, and Carolina's jumped off the look ahead up to 5.5 and fives out there as well.
Yeah.
That's the Saints at Carolina.
I can't lay 5.5 with the Panthers. Like, I can't do it. Like, that's one of those teams where, like, you're still learning how to win. You need to learn how to cover before I really want to lay that type of number. That being said, I don't want to run to the Saints either. It's kind of in a dead zone. If we get up to 6.5, I'm probably back in the Saints. I doubt we ever see that. Look ahead again was 3.5. So we're already seeing a 2-point move. I would doubt if Sharps let it go out another point.
Yeah, and the Rams are at San Francisco in division. Important, obviously, because remember, the Rams lost and Survivor got killed. The Rams lost at home to San Francisco, going to be super motivated. The hook has been added to the look ahead, so it's 3.5 with the Rams. I probably would lay it. They feel very in tune right now.
BetMGM and FanDuel and DraftKings all have threes.
Nice.
-120s at everyone. FanDuel's -118. If you wake up and a three still is available, Rams -3. That's another one where you want to take that hook. This is, you mentioned it, a very highly motivated team in this spot. I don't care that Purdy's back. To me, that's not a big upgrade between Purdy and what we've seen from Mac Jones. And this is a Rams team that absolutely needs this game if they're going to be able to win this division. And so I think you're going to get a very big performance from the Rams. They're going to be disappointed with what they saw. Now, the one thing you're kind of worried about here, Shanahan does own McVay.
He does.
So what does Shanahan have up his sleeve? Is he going to be able to scheme up a game like what we saw on that Thursday night? You got to remember, though, you had the full defensive pieces in on that Thursday night. You're missing all of those pieces now. That's where I think the difference is. You're not going to be able to pressure Stafford. He's going to have all day. I think that Rams offense is able to feast against San Francisco.
I'll start by saying I was wrong on 471, but the Bills played a Super Bowl in the regular season, and Kansas City just went and played a game because this was so important for Buffalo. You could tell on that first drive. You could tell about with the energy, kind of who are we? And they were a team that could run the ball against a defense that wasn't allowing you to run the football. They have Josh Allen, and they stopped the run with a ton of injuries on defense. Impressive performance. As a matter of fact, 28-21, Buffalo beats Kansas City. It didn't feel that close.
No, it didn't. It felt like Buffalo could have been way ahead in this game. And there was a point where Buffalo was up in the first half, and they had a convincing lead. They were up 21-10. Kansas City gets the ball. There's a 1:50 left on the clock in the first half. You get a 20-yard play to Kelce. You get a 40-yard play to Hollywood Brown, down to the one. And Kansas City gets the ball after the break. And the defensive stand to hold
field goal.
The Chiefs out of the end zone was one of the biggest possessions there, because it felt like at the end of the first half, it should have been 28-3 Bills. And because they missed a fourth down conversion around midfield, the Chiefs able to get a touchdown off that. That game was a lot closer than it should have been at halftime. Buffalo able to get the hold them to a field goal there, able to get the stop out of the break, and really just kind of took control of this game. I've got like the flashing warning lights on with this Chiefs team, Patrick, because I love so many pieces of it. This offensive line's a problem again. We talked about when we've seen the Chiefs make the Super Bowl and lose, it's the offensive line that was the real issue. We're still working with a mash unit over there, and Buffalo absolutely lived in the backfield against Kansas City. They had 3 sacks. They had 15 quarterback hits on Mahomes. And on top of that, Mahomes wasn't able to run the football either. I believe it was just 1 for 5 today on the ground for Mahomes. And every time he tried to step up, the 2D tackles collapsed in. There was no room to go. Every time he tried to wheel out, there was a defensive end waiting for him. This was a masterclass by the Buffalo Bills defensive line. And a big reason for it was the banged up offensive line for the Chiefs. They need to get healthy. They need to figure that out, because that is the biggest liability right now on this team.
Yeah, they may make a move. They go on by Kansas City. I believe Tuesday is the trade deadline. We'll see what that. I'm not as concerned about Kansas, but I do understand your trepidation as far as the offensive line. Buffalo will go to Miami. What did Baltimore close on Monday night? 7.5?
Monday night or Thursday night?
Thursday night, 7.5?
7.5, yes.
So Buffalo is 9.5 at Miami next Sunday.
Hey, Buffalo owns Miami. Let's start out with that. As a Dolphins fan, I can tell you that much. It was 8.5 on the look ahead. We're at 9.5 now. I think the point move is teaser protection in a lot of ways from the books. We're like, hey, we don't want a bunch of Bills liability on teasers here. At the same time, the difference between 8 and 8.5 and 9.5, not huge. Man, it's probably Bills or pass for me.
Yeah, it's probably Bills or pass.
But I'm not running to the window at the current number.
Yeah, they do kill. It does feel like a team after that Kansas City win, and you know, almost like that Atlanta loss was about as embarrassing as it gets. And it's like, who are we? And they showed up.
I will say this: I would be more likely to bet the Bills if the Dolphins sell. If we see Waddle move, if we
Chubb.
See Phillips move, if we see Chubb move, it's not just the players you're losing; it's the mentality of the locker room. A locker room that we already know like is hanging on by a thread to their head coach. If the team then says, hey, we're not even trying anymore, you may have an effort issue in Miami.
It's a great point because we talked about it being injury season, but it's also organization lets the locker room know what the rest of the season is about season. Yep. And that will happen coming up this week. So it's important to pay attention to that. It's a great point. We close out 473 Seattle, who it's my obsession is just calling them balanced. And tonight was as balanced as they get. Seattle beat up on Washington 38-14. I don't even want to make this about Washington being bad because I thought Seattle was that good in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. They were exquisite.
They were awesome. Sam Darnold was awesome in the first half. This offense was just electric, throwing the football. This was a Seahawks team that did not have all their pieces on defense and were still able to do this. His Love goes to the IR before this game, so he's going to miss 4 weeks. They lost Josh Job in-game as well. This is just a really impressive defensive line. Like, what we're getting up the middle from Byron Murphy and Leonard Williams is awesome. Like that just kind of sets the tone for the rest of this team. It makes it very hard to run inside against this team. It means you're getting pressure from the middle as well as from the outside, and it sets up a really good secondary. There's only a couple teams in the NFL that have a very good pass rush and a very good secondary. This Seattle team is one of them. They have one of the best defensive coaches in the NFL leading the way as well. And then this offense is, you like to say, it's just a balanced team. Just a team that at every phase is good. And if you're not going to be able to heat up Sam Darnold, it's funny because we talked about Goff, we talked about Danny Jones over there with the Colts. If you heat him up, you can get the bad version. If you can heat up Sam Darnold, maybe you're going to get a bad version. Washington tried. They blitzed like crazy, and Darnold just picked them apart. So if you're going to get Sam Darnold to play like this, this is one of the best teams in football.
Yeah, and Seattle's cornerbacks in the secondary, they're going to get healthier. So very interesting. Okay, so I'm just taking a look, and it looks like Seattle's going to get Arizona. We're going to finish off with them on Monday night. Seattle, look ahead with 6. They're up to 6.5. DraftKings is Seattle 7 with the Cardinals coming in.
I like the Seahawks in the 6.5 for a couple reasons. First off, I like playing teams that have to take on teams that are playing Monday night. We could get an injury on Monday night to the Cardinals, which could move this line. You're also getting more rest. This is a Seattle team that's just cooking right now, and it's a Seattle team that's owned the Cardinals. We talked about this last time these two teams played. We backed Seattle. They covered. I believe that was week 2, maybe week 3. They beat this Cardinals team twice last year. The defense was the highlight in both of those games. Kyler Murray simply has not figured out this defense yet, and if he does not play on Monday, he is going to play the following week based on the prognosis from his injury. So I like the Seahawks in this. This Seattle team is just, right now, I think they're a little undervalued in the market, and they own the Cardinals.
And Detroit's at Washington. We both agree, if you can find a 3, if you're listening to us early in the week here on a Sunday night into Monday morning, I like Detroit 3 at Washington.
Yep, I agree with you. Give me the Lions if you can get the 3.
Okay, we close out Sharp Money's Sunday into Monday episode with Arizona at Dallas, and to close out week 9. Dallas is 3 everywhere. Actually, DraftKings is 3.5. It's a 53.5 on the total.
Yeah, expecting points here because Dallas is involved. Good offense, bad defense, which makes a fun game. We will see if it's Brissett. We're expecting Brissett tomorrow night. That is what we're hearing is the plan from the Cardinals side of this. I like props here specifically. I like Arizona Cardinals receiving props in this spot. I want to target this Cowboys secondary as much as I possibly can. Trey McBride currently sitting at 70.5. Give me the over there. Marvin Harrison Jr., 57.5. I will take the over there as well. I think this is a offense that's when it's led here by Brissett. We have seen a much more efficient, much more, I'll say, grown-up style offense where it's not so much out of rhythm. It's more of what the play design play is, and we're seeing the ball get out on time. That's what the Cowboys really struggle to defend. It feels like you're going to see the Cardinals be able to do what they want through the air here in this spot. I'm not sure what to expect from this Cowboys offense. I think they're going to move the football.
I think that's one thing we can be sure of, is that they're going to score points. They're just going to give up as many.
Yeah, see, like, I was really disappointed against the Broncos effort last week. And
that's true.
That's what I still have in my mind. That was just – you saw them against the Packers, and they were able to move the football despite the Packers' pass rush. They fell apart in the face of pressure last week. Now, Arizona cannot rush the passer in the same way that Denver can. So you would assume you're going to see the better version of Dak Prescott. If that's the case, you can look at Lamb stuff. This is one of those games where – I don't want to lay 3.5 with Dallas. So it's either Cardinals or pass for me, because Dallas's defense, I'm not laying over a field goal when I've got that defense tied to whatever offense it is. And on the other side, to me, it's like we're just going to see points here. I don't necessarily want to go to the over. I'm more looking for yards, and that's why I'm leaning toward props in this spot.
Yeah, McBride is who I had written down as well, with his receiving yards as a security blanket there for Brissett. I'd love to bet the over, but once you start getting up in the, like, you can't give away any possessions.
No.
Once you get up into 53.5.
I will say, if you want a fun one here, go to the special teams props, which I know not everyone wants to get involved in special teams props. Longest field goal made over 52.5. I lean toward the over there. And team to make the longest field goal, you can get Cowboys. So that it's no field goal made, Cowboys or Cardinals. You can get Cowboys at -105. Give me Brandon Aubrey over Chad Ryland for a longer field goal in this game.
All right, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday. I would say two themes. One, the Steelers, shockingly good. And then two, I wrote down NFC North. Packers are even money. Detroit's +130. They both lost today. Chicago's 11-1 and Minnesota's 14-1. They won today.
Yeah, I wrote down the Wests are the best two divisions in football. Give me the Chiefs, give me the Broncos, give me the Chargers. And on the other side, give me the Seahawks, give me the Rams, give me the 49ers. Those are the best two divisions in football right now. And specifically, the NFC North has lost today. Put a little turmoil. We talked last week about how the cream was rising to the crop, or cream was rising to the top. Took a little bit of a setback today, Patrick.
Yeah, I would agree
with that. A couple losses that you kind of scratch your head on, specifically the Packers and the Lions. Like, what are we doing, guys? So the two Western divisions probably going to represent 6 of our 14 playoff teams.
We're past the midway point in the NFL season, so bettors, pay attention to the injuries. And also, as Mike said, philosophical approach moving forward with the trade deadline coming up. That matters when betting. Samo, have a good Sunday night into Monday. Thank you to Matt Deutsch as well. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and this is Sharp Money. Get it wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you Thursday.